الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء كرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, we have drawn almost to the end of the month of Rajab, a Mubarak and a blessed month, which can be evidenced from the dua Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم taught us at the outset of this month. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. That Allah bless us in the months of Rajab and Sha'ban and cause us to remain alive to experience the accolade Sayyidu Shuhur, the leader of the months of the Islamic calendar, the blessed month of Ramadan. This period, we find that they are very, very auspicious occasions. One is that great mu'ajaza and miracle, according to majority of the mu'arrikhin, that of Mi'raj occurred in the month of Rajab. Likewise, Shab-e-Barat is coming in 1 or 2 weeks' time. And then is the Mubarak in the blessed month of Ramadan. We've mentioned this many times before, but unfortunately, as an ummah today, to some extent, these auspicious occasions, we identify with them, we recognize them. We would have noticed on Wednesday night, there would have been an unusual number of musallis in the masjid, more than normal. Throughout the various masajid, great detail would have been given to this great mu'jaza and miracle, that of Mi'raj. But unfortunately, it ends there. What is the sabak? What is the lesson? What are the haqaiq and realities? What we are supposed to revisit with regards to these auspicious occasions, illa mashallah, majority of us, this tends to escape us. An example of that, it's not my intention to go into any detail about any of these great occasions, but just by way of example, many mu'arrikhin, many historians were of the opinion that this Mi'raj was in fact consolation to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our beloved Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam suffered in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of this deen, for the sake of this ummah. No human being in the annals of history suffered like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam suffered. And yet we find that Allah ta'ala tested his Habib to such a level that in 1 year which is referred to as Amul Huzn, the year of grief, trial upon trial upon trial came on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One was the demise of Abu Talib. Who is Abu Talib? And by listening, when we hear this name Abu Talib, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, each one of us has to take a thermometer, has to look within our hearts and ask ourselves this question: how much do we value this iman which Allah gave us? We didn't ask for it, we didn't make dua for it, majority of us. We were born in Muslim homes. How valuable is this iman, and how much of shukr we should be making, and how much of effort we should be making to preserve and protect this iman. More greater clarification of that we cannot get then from this incident of Abu Talib. So much of love he had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so many signs Allah ta'ala showed him that this is the true Nabi of Allah. An example of that, Allama Suyuti rahimahullah in his Khasais al-Kubra, He mentions the incident that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a 7-year-old boy, in the care of his uncle Abu Talib, a trade delegation left from Makkah to go to Syria. On the way they passed by an area where there was an ascetic, a monk, his name was Buhayra. This man had a soma'a, a worship place built into the trunk, into the trunk of a tree. And for decades, he was a Christian, for decades, but he was muwahhid, he believed in tawheed, in Allah's oneness. For decades he engaged himself in the worship and ibadat of Allah to such an extent that he had secluded himself. No one had seen this man. When this kafla of Abu Talib came to the precincts of Buhayra's soma'a, worship place, he sent a message with his khadim that I am inviting these people for a meal. The whole town, pandemonium, shock. They were dumbfounded. This man has not been seen publicly in decades. And he is inviting you people for a meal. What is so special? Nevertheless, the kafla of this Quraysh, Abu Talib's caravan, they came for the dawat, they gathered around the tree of Buhayra. He emerged for the first time. Imagine, for the first time in decades, this man is emerging in public. He looks around. First question he asked them, where is the young boy? Referring to the 7-year-old Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where is the young boy? They say, we left him behind to look after the camels. So he said, you fools, it is because of that youngster that I invited you. Send for the youngster. Desert climate, shade is a premium. So it was the middle of the day, the sun had reached its zenith, there was very little shade. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, he sat in the direct glare of the sunlight. No sooner did he sit, the clouds moved, the trees, their shadow moved to create cover and shade for this little boy. This was glaringly obvious to everyone. So Buhayra addressed him. He said, did you see what just happened? He said, every tree, every stone that this youngster passed greeted him. This is exactly what would happen to the previous Anbiya alayhi salam. Then he asked them that, who is this boy? Abu Talib stood up and said, he is my son. Buhayra said, you are a liar. My scriptures have informed me that the father of this child passed away before he was born. So Abu Talib said, yes, what you are saying is correct. He is not my son, he is my nephew, but, and this is the important point, but I love him more than my own children. So much of love he had. In Shi'ab Abi Talib, in the valley of Abu Talib, the Banu Hashim, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were boycotted. They had to leave their homes in Makkah. They were not allowed to trade or interact with anyone. They were ostracized completely and locked up in this valley for 3 years. Historians describe the extent of suffering experienced by the Banu Hashim. They say they had to eat the leaves from the trees. Incident is mentioned, the little baby Fatima radiallahu anha holding the dress of her mother Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ummi al-Atash, Ummi al-Atash, Ummi al-Atash. Oh my mother, I am thirsty. Oh my mother, I am thirsty. Oh my mother, I am thirsty. There was no water. The Banu Hashim were told, all of them had not accepted Islam. There were disbelievers amongst them also. They were told, we will restore your rights. You can trade, you can return back to your homes. You will be elevated and honored. But one condition, hand over Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us. At that time, in response to them, Abu Talib responded to them in the form of a poem, what is called Qasida Lamia, 90 couplets. Just a few couplets. كَذَبْتُمْ وَبَيْتِ اللَّهِ نُبْزَى مُحَمَّدًا وَلَمَّا نُطَاعِنُ دُونَهُ وَنُنَاظِلِي وَنُسْلِمُهُ حَتَّى نُصَرَّى حَوْلَهُ وَنُذْهَلَ عَنْ أَبْنَائِنَا وَالْحَلَائِلِ وَأَبْيَدَ يُسْتَسْقَى الْغَمَامُ بِوَجْهِ ثُمَالُ الْيَتَامَ عِسْمَةً لِلْأَرَامِلِ. The crux of what he said, you people want us to hand over Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before that you will have to slaughter every one of us.
You will have to create a mountain of our corpses before we will allow you to touch one hair on the body of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This kind of devotion, this kind of sacrifice and allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would persecute him, they would hurt him, they would maim him, they would harm him, but they fell short of, na'uzubillah, killing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of Abu Talib. Finally, they reached the end of their tether. The leaders of the Quraysh went to Abu Talib. And they said, stop your nephew. Stop your nephew from what he is doing. Otherwise, na'uzubillah, we are no longer going to accept your protection. We are going to kill him. Abu Talib sends for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my beloved nephew, stop what you are doing, for I no longer can guarantee your protection. The question, like we said, sabak, lesson, the question each one of us have to ask ourselves. What did they have a problem with? Was it Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ibadat? Was it his zikr of Allah? Days upon end in the cave of Hira, he would make ibadat in seclusion. His food would run out. Khadija radiallahu anha would renew his supplies. Yet the gullies and the alleys of Makkah would resound, Al-Amin, As-Sadiq, the truthful one, the trustworthy one. They exonerate, they revered and honored him. Yet around the age of 40, when Jibreel came with the first 5 verses of Surah Alaq, what happened? From ibadat, what happened? Allah's Rasul started giving da'wat. Calling to Allah's oneness. Calling to this Mubarak deen. Calling humanity to the road towards Jannah. It was this da'wat that they had a problem with. That da'wat which today, this ummah, many of us feel, acha kaam hai, mashallah, karna hai to kar lo, nahi karna hai to koi masla nahi. Very good work, do it if you want, don't do it if you don't want. Some of us feel it's the work of one group or one organization. Just now ijtima will take place. Many of us will attend that ijtima with this mindset. With this mindset, hum to tablighi nahi hai. We're not tablighis. We're just going, we'll take one, maybe Jummah, we'll attend one salah, or listen to one bayan and come away. The fire of irtidad is burning on our doorsteps. Our masajid are empty. Our youth are in the dens of vice and corruption. Every command of Allah is being broken today. And our mindset when it comes to da'wat and tabligh is, karna hai to kar lo, na karna hai to na kar lo. Abu Talib sends for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my nephew, I beg you, stop this da'wat. Stop this invitation. Otherwise I will no longer be able to protect you. One riwayat, what was the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ma ana bi aqdar min an ada' ma bu'ithtu bihi min an yush'ila ahadukum min hadhihi ash-shamsi shu'lat nar. Allahu akbar. To translate this, Allah, it's impossible to do justice to the vehemence, to the dard, the pain in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for him to have said this. What does it mean? He says, oh my uncle, it will be easier for me to take a ball of fire from the sun. It will be easier for me to take a flaming coal from the sun, hold it in my hand so that my entire body is burnt to ashes. That I will tolerate, but giving up this da'wat and tabligh I will never tolerate. Ask ourselves, Ashik-e-Rasul, followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that ittiba and emulation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam possible if da'wat is not in our lives? My Nabi said, my entire body burned to ashes, I will allow that, but I will never give up da'wat and tabligh. When his uncle hears this, Abu Talib, seeing the determination, فَاسْتَعْ بِأَمْرِكَ لَمْ تُسِبْكَ صَبَابَةٌ وَلَقَدْ صَدَقْتَ وَقَدْ كُنْتَ قَبْلُ أَمِينًا وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ وَحَذَارَ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمِحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. He said, oh my nephew, carry on with what you are doing. No harm will come to you. You are truthful and you have always been truthful. And then Abu Talib says, I know in my heart that the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of every religion. If it were not for the fear of the taunts and the mocking of the women of Quraysh, then out of the fear of old age, or out of the fear of death, I abandoned the religion of my forefathers, I would have openly recited your kalima. Try and visualize those last moments. Abu Talib is breathing his last, surrounded by the leaders of the Quraysh. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing at the bedside of his uncle, seeing the life coming out of his uncle, begging him, beseeching him, "Oh my uncle, recite the kalima once. If you don't want to recite it loudly, recite it in my ears. وَحَاجُّ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Tomorrow in Allah's court, I will be able to argue in your favor. Give me some opportunity, recite this kalima." He's begging his uncle. Yet Abu Talib leaves the world with the words, "Ala deeni Abdul Muttalib, I am dying on the religion of Abdul Muttalib." What is the effect of this? We want to know, put a price tag on this iman which Allah gave us. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna ahwana ahli an-nari adaban la rajulun yudau fi akhmasi qadamayhi jamratan yaghli minhuma dimaghuhu." He described one person in Jahannam. Two coals of fire will be placed underneath the feet of this person. Such will be the intensity of the two coals that the brains of this person will start boiling. "Ma yara nahadan ashadda minhu adaba." This person will think to himself, "In the whole of Jahannam, in the whole of Jahannam, no one is suffering as much as I am suffering." Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa innahu la ahwanuhum adaba." This is the lightest azab of Jahannam. In Jahannam, there is nothing lighter than this. "Fadhuqu falan nazidakum illa adaba." Allah will say, "Taste now. Nothing will increase except azab and punishment." "Khalidina fiha abada." Forever and ever and ever. This azab will be given to Abu Talib in cognizance of the sacrifice that he endured for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he left this world on shirk. This azab will be his forever and ever. How much this hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can understand it from the expression of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr's father Abu Quhafa was a blind man. Allah blessed him with iman. Once Abu Bakr said, "If Allah called me and said, 'Oh Abu Bakr, you have a choice. Either we will give your father iman, or we will give Abu Talib iman. Either we will give your father iman, or we will give Abu Talib iman.'" Abu Bakr said, "I will say to Allah, 'Ya Allah, give Abu Talib iman. Give Abu Talib iman.'" Why? Because they saw how much this hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to see his uncle leave this world on kufr and shirk. Where Jibreel is sent down with the verse of the Quran, "Innaka la tahdi man ahbabta, walakinna Allah yahdi man yasha." Oh my beloved, you cannot give hidayah to whom you want. Allah gives hidayah to whom Allah wants. Demise of Abu Talib. Same year, the demise of Khadijatul Kubra, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. The first personality in this ummah to get salams from Allah. Jibreel comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bukhari Sharif riwayat, Khadija is on her way to you, she has prepared some food for you. Allah has sent me Jibreel to convey his salams to Khadija. Inform her that she has suffered greatly for the sake of your deen. Let her know that her home in Jannah is already prepared. La sakhaba fi wa la taab. There will be no tiredness, no difficulty for her. This maqam and status, why? Because this mother of ours, this wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, outlined for every wife and every mother till Qiyamah, what is the role of a wife and a mother. First and foremost, for the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the hidayat of humanity, for this mission of Dawat and Tabligh, Khadijatul Kubra gave maximum sacrifice. She sacrificed everything. Pillar of support she was. One hand the demise of Abu Talib, one hand the demise of Khadijatul Kubra. Third, the incident of Taif, Muarrikhin say, this Mi'raj was solace. was solace. Why? Because the trial and tribulation upon Rasulullah had reached an epitome, great proportion. Details we heard, I'm not going to go into details. What is the sabak? He was in the home of Ummi Hani radiallahu anha. From there to the Khatim. Without surgical instruments. Without any surgeon or anesthetic or blood transfusion. The chest is cut open. The heart is taken out. Bowl is brought from Jannat. In that bowl is Zamzam. The heart is bathed in that bowl. Then the heart is put back. The chest is sealed again. From Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. Lightning speed. There is no other surah in the Quran that begins with this expression. Subhan. Subhan. Alladhi asra bi abdihi laylan min al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. What does Subhan mean? Allah is pure. Allah is pure of science, of zoology, of physics, of chemistry, of anatomy, of biology. These are laws and regulations, earth, wind, fire and water, that you have been confined to. Allah is part of all this. Atmospheric pressure, it is said, upon every human being, plus minus, today is 1014 HPA, plus minus, layman's term, understand, 1 ton. 1 ton of atmospheric pressure is being pushed down on each one of us. Why are we not crushed? Allah has created a system inside us. Where this pressure is mitigated, there is pressure inside your body which cancels the effect of the outside pressure. As you go higher, outside pressure gets less. So when the astronauts travel in space, they give them a space suit. What is the space suit for? It's not an outfit. Why they make them wear that space suit? It's because the outside pressure is less now. So if they didn't cover the astronaut's body with that space suit, the inside pressure will cause the body to explode. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam without a space suit. With his kurta and lungi, Subhan. Subhan, Allah is pak. Time was stopped. The law of science was stopped. The law of physics and chemistry and biology and anatomy was stopped. Subhan, Allah is pak. From Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. First heaven, Adam alayhi salam. Second heaven, Yahya, Zakaria, Isa alayhi salam. Third heaven, Yusuf alayhi salam. Fourth heaven, Idris alayhi salam. Fifth heaven, Harun alayhi salam. Sixth heaven, Musa alayhi salam. Seventh heaven, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Above that is an ocean, beyond that. Hamilin arsh, beyond that. Allah's kursi, beyond that. Allah's arsh, beyond. Allahu Akbar, right up till Sidratul Muntaha. In one lengthy riwayat, Rasulullah ﷺ describes the Sidratul Muntaha. Magnificent, beautiful creation of Allah. Sidratul Muntaha. What does Muntaha mean? The final point. Or the last frontier. Beyond this point, there is permission for no creation of Allah to go. They reach this point. Jibreel says to Rasulullah ﷺ, if I go one hair's breadth further, I will be burned to ashes. There is only permission for one creation of Allah to go beyond this point. And that is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes beyond the Sidratul Muntaha. He has now reached a point no creation of Allah has ever reached. Qadi Ayaz rahimahullah in his Shifa, he mentions the riwayat, narrator is Kaab Ahbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Faraqani Jibreel. Jibreel left me. I was totally, completely alone. وَانْقَطَعَتِ الْأَصْوَاتِ There was total, complete silence. Insan, he was a human being. So naturally there was an element of fear that entered the heart. All of a sudden what happened? فَسَمِعْتُ كَلَامَ رَبِّي فَسَمِعْتُ كَلَامَ رَبِّي I heard the kalam of my Allah. Allah spoke directly to me. لِيَهْدَأَ رَوْعُكَ Do not be afraid, ya Habibi, O my beloved, udnu, udnu, udnu. Kamal-e qurb. That closeness, that maqam, that status, that epitome, that height, no creation of Allah had ever reached. Like I said, time is limited. What is the sabak? What is the lesson? Allah called him on that Mi'raj and gave him what? You go for some journey somewhere, go 40 days, 4 months in the path of Allah. When you return, first thing, what the little children ask? Kya hadiya lekar aaya? My own grandchild, what surprise did you bring? This is natural. You went on a journey, what did you bring for us? He went on that Mi'raj, Allah called him. Allah elevated him above every Nabi, ana Nabiyul Anbiya. The misdaq of that was Mi'raj, Imamat of Anbiya. What did he bring? What did he come back with? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah beautifully puts it, lil abdi bayna yaday Allahi mawqifan, mawqifun bayna yadayhi fi salatihi wa mawqifun bayna yadayhi yawm liqa'i rabbihi. He says, for every mu'min, there is two occasions in his life. Two occasions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam physically went on Mi'raj. Spiritually, each one of us is summoned to Allah's court. That Mi'raj, so-called, is replicated two times. Once, 5 times every day in your salah. 5 times every day, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah's caller is summoning you to present yourself in Allah's court. فَمَنْ قَامَ بِحَقِّ الْمَوْقِفِ الْأَوَّلِ. This is the first standing. What is the second standing? What is the second standing? The day when you will have to stand in Allah's court on the day of judgment. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنُ يُغْنِيهِ. A day of terrible fear. Terrible fear. Where a pregnant woman will abort her child. That kind of fear. One is this standing, the other is that standing. What does Ibn al-Qayyim say? فَمَنْ قَامَ بِحَقِّ الْمَوْقِفِ الْأَوَّلِ هُوِنْ عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْقِفِ الْآخِرِ. He says, fulfill the haqq of this first standing. Wednesday night masjid was full. What happened Thursday Fajr? Jummah the masjid is full. What happens tomorrow Fajr? Fulfill the right of this first standing. هُوِنْ عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْقِفِ الْآخِرِ. The second standing in Allah's court on the day of judgment will be made easy for you. وَمَنِ اسْتَهَانَ بِهَذَا الْمَوْقِفِ وَلَمْ يُوَفِّ حَقَّهُ. The one who will make mazak and mockery of this standing. Come when he feels like, don't come when he feels like. And even when he comes from Allahu Akbar till Salam, his mind is everywhere else but with Allah. He says, make a mockery of this first standing and don't fulfill its haqq. Allah protect us. شُدِّدْ عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ الْمَوْقِفِ. The second standing will be made difficult for you. Mi'raj, what is the sabak? What is the lesson? What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam bring back in that Mi'raj? My respected brothers, year in, year out, we acknowledge Mi'raj, we acknowledge Shab-e Barat, we acknowledge Shab-e Qadr, but not one be-namazi makes tawbah. Not one person who is away from deen comes back onto deen. Not one person acknowledges the responsibility of Dawud and Tabligh. How much longer are we going to carry on like that? Our deen is not rituals. Our deen is a rich heritage. Our deen, each year we are revisiting these things to take this sabak, to take this lesson, to make tawbah, to come back to Allah. This ishtima that is coming is an opportunity for that. Go out for 40 days from that ishtima, what you will get? You will get Ramadan in the path of Allah. You will get Shab-e Qadr in the path of Allah. And more importantly, we can revisit what direction our lives are going. Because one thing is guaranteed, whether we like it or not, hum sabko marna hai bhai. Sabko marna hai, we all have to die. And that shop and that job and that investment that we are amassing is not coming with us. What is going to come with us is this salah, is this zikrullah, is this tilawat, is this qurbani that we will give in the path of Allah. That is going to come with us. These occasions are there for us to realize that, for us to make tawbah, for us to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq wa akhira.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.